This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stasio. A judge in Wake County has granted a restraining order against a law approved by state legislators last week in an unprecedented midnight session. Lawmakers met Thursday to try to override Governor Bev Perdue's veto of the Racial Justice Act. But in a surprise move, the Republican-controlled legislature voted to take up another issue after midnight. Governor Perdue vetoed a bill that would have stopped the North Carolina Association of Educators from collecting dues through automatic payroll deduction. Veto override was overridden without notice. Just after 1 o'clock in the morning, the North Carolina Association of Educators sued to block the new law. Superior Court Judge Paul Gessner issued the injunction saying the law would cause teachers irreparable harm in the time it takes the suit to get through the courts. WRAL-TV Capitol Bureau Chief Laura Leslie joins us now by phone to tell us what happened. Laura, welcome.
Hi, Frank.
Take us through what happened last week. Legislature supposed to vote on the veto of the Racial Justice Act. Tell us what happened after that, after they met.
Right. And that bill was actually to repeal the Racial Justice Act. A lot of Republicans had said, and the DA said, too, that they thought that 2009 law that allowed people to, death row inmates, rather, to try to change their sentence to life without parole if they could prove racial bias. Well, the DAs and a lot of Republicans thought it was too broad, and so they were trying to override it. So, of course, the governor vetoed the repeal, brought them all back to Raleigh, and it's a procedure that's laid out in the Constitution that if the governor vetoes something after they've left session, she has to call them back to give them a go at overriding her veto.
All right, and go ahead.
She called them all back, and she set it for January the 4th, which was within the window of time she had to do it. And they came back, and the Senate did override the veto. The House fell short on votes because they need some Democratic help in the House. They don't have a three-fifths majority in the House itself to override with just Republicans alone. So that fell short, and that bill was sent to committee, and they say they're going to take it up and look at it probably in the short session or maybe, who knows, even in the 2013 session and see if they can make some other changes to the law without quite repealing it.
All right. And that should have been that because I guess, and maybe you can explain this, under the law, if you're called in a special session for a veto override, you take up that and only that.
Well, yes and no. Okay. A lot of people say that's clearly the intent of the constitutional section that describes all this. But what the Constitution actually says is that the legislature can take up only such bills as the governor called them back to reconsider. What they did, though, is they used a resolution, their adjournment resolution, to make the change to call that special session back in after midnight. And resolution is not the same thing as bill, and some legal experts say, you know, that it doesn't apply. The constitutional prohibition against other issues doesn't apply to resolution. So, you know, they're arguing that what they did was not unconstitutional and that, in fact, it was following the rules of the House.
Tell us the other issue that they took up after midnight.
Well, that other issue was the what you were talking about, the NCAE dues checkoff bill. And this has a long history. Back this summer, NCAE got involved in some of the budget wrangling that was going on, especially over cuts to education. And back when there was word that there were going to be some Democrats joining along with the Republicans to put the budget into law, NCAE ran ads against those Democrats in their own districts, targeting them, trying to make them renege on their deal, their compromise with the Republican leadership. So there was a closed caucus meeting of the Republicans that was inadvertently broadcast to the press room in which Speaker Tillis was heard to say that the NCAE was getting a little taste of what was going to be, you know, that this was really about this political payback, essentially.
Right.
And so what happened is that bill came up on about 90 minutes notice, and the vetoed bill, and it was overridden at about 1:12 in the morning, and five Democrats weren't even there. Democrats, of course, cried bloody murder, you know, that this was underhanded and possibly unconstitutional, you know, but of course that's going to be up to the courts, as we found out yesterday.
Right, and unconstitutional, and also, in a sense, there are precedents for a little unprecedented in that the state does allow payroll deduction for other organizations, most notably the State Employees Association, right?
Right, and that was the argument that some Republicans made in favor of this bill. They said that the government shouldn't be in the business of collecting income for organizations, especially organizations that lobby and are politically active. But, of course, you know, NCAE is not the only one. And this bill only, it's narrowly tailored only to affect teachers. So it's the NCAE and there's another group, PENC, that it would affect, and I think some retired educators as well. But all the rest of the dues checkoffs are to remain unchanged. And the people who are opponents of the bill say that that's unconstitutional. They say it violates the right of equal protection to have one group that is targeted and another group that is not.
Yeah, it's directly aimed at teachers. We heard Tom tell us in that what was supposed to be an executive session say, in a sense, it's political payback. He has since denied what he said in that session. What are the Republicans saying about this late night, this midnight session, and why they think it's perfectly all right to do that?
Well, their arguments are that, number one, that they managed to sort of follow the Constitution. I mean, it was kind of a loophole, but at the same time, it's a legal loophole, they say, that allowed them to call the session. And they say that they have told people time and time again that any vetoed bill is up for consideration anytime they're back in Raleigh. And so they say people should know that just might happen. And, you know, how people would know that would happen at 1 o'clock in the morning, I'm not sure. But there certainly wasn't public notice that bill was going to be taken up.
It certainly does look a little shady to be doing the people's business in the shadows after midnight. They had the votes. Why do that? Why wait till after midnight? Why do it in secret without any public notice? I mean, they had the votes, right?
Yeah, well, they did, although it could be. There are rumors that a vote, basically a deal was cut over the racial justice, the veto that didn't, the override that didn't happen and the one that did to get some support for. We don't know if that's true. Nobody wants to confirm that on tape. But, yeah, I mean, could they have done it in daylight? They could have. Speaker Tillis said that the point of doing it late at night was just to get it out of the way and go home and save the state the extra money for staying an extra day. But they also had to wait on a couple of Republicans who were not in the chamber earlier. They were not able to make the earlier session, but they did make it there by midnight. And those two votes that came in at the last minute were definitely necessary to make that override happen. They had just the number of votes they needed, 69 to 45. And in the meantime, a couple of Democrats went home. So that changed the equation as well. You know, if they waited till the morning, those Democrats might have come back.
So there is a court challenge. Judge Gessner has issued an injunction suggesting that at least it has a chance in the courts. And therefore, since it might do harm by his judgment, he's going to stay the veto override. It gets a little complicated here.
Well, the new law.
So the new law does not go into effect. And so what effect does that have in terms of the checkoff? How far does that go? Does this checkoff happen once a year? Does it happen every, not a checkoff, but the deduction?
It comes out of payroll checks, so if they're paid biweekly, then it would be a small amount on a regular basis. And, I mean, it's important to note, too, a couple of things. Number one, that the checkoff is voluntary. Nobody has dues, no teacher has dues deducted from their paycheck without agreeing to have that happen. There's been some misunderstanding about that in the media. And also it's important to note that, you know, we've talked about how things happening after midnight are generally unsavory, but the Democrats did a lot of that, too. You know, I mean, late night votes are not unprecedented, but sort of calling a new session after midnight with no notice of what's going on is a little unprecedented.
And the constitutionality of that will be checked in the courts. And also the Republicans came into office saying they were going to bring new transparency to government.
They did. And you know, that was one of their biggest beefs with the former Democratic leadership. And I think a lot of members of the press, we agreed with them, you know, that the sort of last minute wrangling and these last minute votes. And I mean, there were times when the Democrats put down a budget, you know, 300-400 pages and expected people to vote on it in 2 hours, you know, and that was especially true back under the leadership of former Speaker Jim Black, who you remember ended up going to prison.
Right.
You know, in the meantime, Speaker Joe Hackney had tried to do things differently. But the rationale that we've heard for the Republicans is, well, it's okay to do this because they did it to us.
Yeah, business as usual, as we thought.
Yeah.
Now, let's talk about the Racial Justice Act. That was that veto is now intact, which is to say the Racial Justice Act is still in effect and still law. What's the future of that now that it's been referred to a committee?
Well, I think a lot's going to depend on the progress of court cases that are currently underway. Right now, the court case that everybody's watching is down in Cumberland County, where somebody has brought filed for relief under this act. So there's one other court case underway in Winston-Salem, but that's kind of on hold while everybody watches Cumberland County. You know, so I think what happens there will probably have a lot to do with what lawmakers decide they need to do to this act down the road. But I think there is, you know, at least among some moderate and conservative Democrats, as well as Republicans, a sense that the bill, although well-intentioned and probably needed, isn't perhaps as finely drawn as it could be, you know, and is basically allowing just about everybody who is on death row currently has filed for relief under that act, regardless of the race of themselves or their victims. And I think that probably, well, I don't know if that was the intention or not. I can't, you know, read the minds of the people who wrote it, but there are a lot of people who think that that's just a little too broad.
A little fine-tuning, and you talked about this a second ago, but any idea about when the that bill might be taken up, whether it's going to be a special session or in the next regular session?
It's been sent to a committee. It could move any time, but one of the Democrats who sort of cut the deal to save the Racial Justice Act said that they intend to take, you know, a detailed look at it and come up with some recommendations. And so that doesn't sound like the sort of thing that's likely to reemerge before, if there is a compromise on it, probably not likely to reemerge before the short session.
All right, Laura, thanks so much for talking with us.
Thank you.
Laura Leslie, Capitol Bureau Chief for WRAL-TV. Just ahead, best-selling author Thomas Frank tells us about his new book, Pity the Billionaire. You're listening to The State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Please stay with us.